Blog Talk Radio.
Attention! Army wives, fall in! You are tuned in to the Internet Talk Radio Show designed specifically for Army wives. Our life, our family, our soldier. Brought to you by the Army Wife Network. Interactive empowerment for Army wives, by Army wives. It's Army Wife Talk Radio. Up-to-the-minute information is right here with special reports, stories, interviews, and more. Now reporting for duty, your host, the AWN Core Team.
Hello, Army family. Welcome to Army Wife Talk Radio, the internet podcast designed specifically for you by the Army Wife Network Core Team. I'm your host, Crystal Niehoff.
And I'm your co-host, Amber Bazinski. Today is Monday, July 11th, 2016, and this show is number 571, and we're glad you're here to hang out with us tonight.
Tonight on AWTR, our featured guest is Christine Schellhaus, a military spouse, entrepreneur, and a nationally known advocate for military families. Christine will be sharing with us about her new book, 15 Years of War. You can find Christine on social media, a couple of different places on Facebook. One is facebook.com, 15 Years of War Book. You can also find her on Facebook at The Happiness Challenge. On Twitter, you can find her at Christine Speaks. That's K-R-I-S-T-I-N-E, Speaks, S-P-E-A-K-S. On Instagram at Christine Schellhaus, that's spelled K-R-I-S-T-I-N-E-S-C-H-E-L-L-H-A-A-S. And also her website is www.christinespeaks.com.
And if you're listening to our show live, join our fun show discussion currently taking place over on Twitter. Comment on the show, ask questions of our guests hang out and chat with the AWN Core Team. Head over to twitter.com/Army Wife Network and be sure to use hashtag Army Wife to participate.
Tonight's show is brought to you by our Army Wife Talk Radio Show sponsor, TDP MetLife. While defending our nation, you can protect your family's smiles and save with the TRICARE Dental Program. Enroll today. You can learn more by going to metlife.com/TRICARE or call 855-MET-TDP-1. But before we move on with our show, Amber, let's take just a few minutes to catch up and tell us what's been going on in your Army wife's life lately.
Well, my husband is actually gone at school, so I'm kind of at home just dealing with it all. Right now my little one's a little fussy, but she just wants to be in my arms, so I'm just holding her, and, you know, that's all you can do sometimes.
Yes, well, and I'm sure most of us understand having had husbands or spouses that have been deployed or TDY, and we have to take care of the kids and the dogs and the house and everything else and that we have going on. So we're all good.
Oh my God.
It'll be a great
yeah.
time. So.
I know. It's just one of those. It was actually, everything was pretty calm. And then it was like, right. It's always when those moments are, you got to get something done. And it's like, it feels like everything is just, whew, okay, you know,
right.
Everything's just one thing on top of another. I'm sure we could all relate, but it's like, oh, man, help me out here. But, oh,
right.
Goodness.
This
is one of those things. Yeah. So, but anyways, yeah, it's just, this summer has been so busy, just trying to keep the kids busy, going to the beach or the library or, you know, whatever I can find to do. Facebook kind of helps out with that, just looking at events. Sometimes you see what others are interested in or they want to do, or, you know, something will pop up and I'm like, oh, that looks interesting. I'll try that. And luckily that's kept us pretty busy. So that's been great.
I've noticed that, or at least in my experience has been around military posts, that there's usually a page with that somebody has started on Facebook that kind of keeps up with events, or at least the last two places I've been there, that has just been such a great resource. So whoever has those pages on Facebook where you keep up with the events in the area, kudos. Mm-hmm. You're a lifeline.
I know.
So what do you do to stay busy?
Oh, my gosh. Just honestly, like I said, I just try to go to any event, or there's a local coffee place I like to go to that's been having things for kids. So that's been amazing because I'll go and get my coffee because, you know, I love my coffee, and I know you do too. So
yes.
I'll get my coffee and, you know, let the kids do the activity that's planned. Today was a police officer was talking about what his job is, and kids were asking questions, and, you know, actually, that reminds me of a funny story. The police officer asked, so, you know, what rules do you have to follow in your home? And my son raised his hand, so chose him because he was antsy about it. And my son said, he said, well, I'm not allowed to run in the kitchen when someone's baking, and I'm not allowed to pee on the floor. And every mom there just started laughing, and I started laughing, and, you know, people were kind of looking around like, whose kid is that? But I just want to think, I couldn't help but just laugh, and I was like, of course I was a little embarrassed, but I was like, yep, that's my boy.
I think anybody with a little boy can relate.
Yeah, and it's so weird, because I've never said, like, literally, don't pee on the floor, Landon, but, you know, he got as I'm always telling him, you know, don't make a mess on the floor or whatever, but he took it literally and just said that to the police officer. That was just, it was so funny. I'll never forget that.
But, I bet he took that back to all his buddies at the station. That was the story he told. That is so funny. I love it.
And what about you? What have you been up to?
Oh, my goodness. It's been a busy summer. My granddaughter, Lexi, is here for a couple of weeks. So she's been spending time with Grandma and Grandpa, who have been spoiling her. So her mom and dad are going to love her when we send her home.
That's why you guys are spoiling her. Right? Oh, definitely.
I used to get so frustrated with my mom, you know. Oh, you don't have to give her all those cookies or, you know. And, you know, the things that parents get frustrated with the grandparents for. And here I am doing the things that I wish my mom wouldn't do. And but I understand it now, being on the grandma side. So it's fun.
I bet.
And we
have
awesome news.
I want to know what's new.
I'm so excited. We had awesome news this past last week. My husband was selected for promotion to lieutenant colonel. So,
my goodness, congrats.
Yes, that was exciting.
That's awesome.
So, you know, starting the party planning.
Oh, my goodness.
Pinterest, here I come. I've got a Pinterest board already just for it.
Oh, my gosh, isn't that addicting? Just all the ideas you can find on Pinterest? Oh, I could spend hours on that thing.
I am not a cake decorator, and nor would I ever dare to be. I love to look at beautifully decorated cakes, but I can't. Just, it's not my forte. But I have a Pinterest board that's got, we're probably looking at a couple hundred decorated cakes, pictures of decorated cakes on that alone, you know, kind of the cake boss and what was the other one? Ace of Cakes or something. I used to watch that one too. And so that kind of got me started looking at decorated cakes. And so I'm looking at military themed decorated cakes. My board is
full. Oh, yeah. I mean, there's so many. It's hard to. And then once you get looking at all of them, it's like, you want them all into one cake, and that won't look right. But there's so many great ideas on there, isn't there?
I know. I wish I had that talent, but it's probably, if I was a baker, it wouldn't be good. It wouldn't make it because I would eat it all. I am, like, addicted to frosting and all this yummy goodness.
Me too, especially with my husband, you know, being away. But, oh, my gosh.
my pantry is stocked full of junk food, and it's so bad. I have such a sweet tooth. I saw a meme the other day, and it was, when your husband's gone, you're nothing but yoga pants and a lot of junk food. And I was like, yeah, that's so true. That's definitely me right now, sweatpants and junk food.
No. Yeah, and feeding kids cereal for dinner.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, a lot of fast food. I feel so bad saying that.
Yeah. I think we're all, except, I don't know, I'm sure there's, like, the Martha Stewart of the Army Wife world out there somewhere that makes gourmet meals even for her kids, but that would not be me. I wish I was.
No.
My kids wish I was. Well, maybe they don't.
Yeah.
They like macaroni and cheese and hamburgers and stuff, pizza. But,
I definitely can relate there, Crystal. I wish I was more of a, well, I'm just not really a good cook in general, but my kids anyways, and I ask them, what do you want for dinner? It's mac and cheese, you know, it's like, you want that again? But, you know, that's their favorite food. And I don't give a shit.
Yeah,
they
could live off of it.
Yeah, I know.
That's funny
how they
go
to restaurants.
Something like that over and over.
When we go to the restaurant, too, you know, okay, pick something, and they go straight for mac and cheese. That's just their number one thing. So, oh, my goodness, these kids.
Yeah, they want it at home. They'll go to a restaurant and order it. I'm like, can you not get tired of it? But I did the same thing, and now it's the very things that I would eat over and over as a kid. I just can't hardly. I just can't do it. I loved ramen noodles as a kid, believe it or not. I loved ramen noodles.
Oh, really?
And it does not even. Can't do it now.
Yes. Yeah.
Can't do it.
Yeah. Yeah, they're great for a little quick thing, but I don't think I'm into those anymore either. But oh my goodness.
What's your go-to meal when your husband's gone?
Do
you have a go-to
meal?
Well,
honestly speaking, as far as my go-to meal, it's really hard. Well, probably pasta. Pasta is probably my easiest. The kids love it. Just noodles and marinara and cheese, and they don't even like chicken or ground beef or anything in it, so it makes it easier for me. But honestly,
yep.
I just Chick-fil-A is my go-to meal when the husband's gone. So
yeah, but I'm gonna say my go-to meal is more of a restaurant. It's called a drive-through.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not good when they know you by name. Oh, do you want to?
Oh my gosh. Luckily, they don't know me by name, but oh my goodness, yeah, there's one near me, so I'm just like constantly, it's so easy, you know, you go out with the kids, do something, and then by the end of the day, you're kind of tired, so it's like, all right, what do you want from Chick-fil-A, or, you know, whatever. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
But, well, it looks like it's time for us to take a quick break, so stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
We know military life can take us lots of places, and we can vote from all of them. Go to fvap.gov and select your state. There, you and your spouse can fill out the FPCA form to register and request your absentee ballots. When your ballot comes, vote and send it back to your local election official, and you're all set. Visit fvap.gov to get started.
Continue your education at an elite university committed to service members and their families. Drexel University offers active duty, veterans, and their family members a 10 to 40% tuition reduction for over 140 online degree programs. Get an inside look at what it's like to be part of the Drexel online community through a free digital test drive. Military family members will be able to experience online learning, explore student support services, and interact with Drexel faculty, staff, students, and alumni. Visit online.drexel.edu/family to sign up today.
Army Wives, it's not your grandma's army anymore.
The military, in this day and age, plays a whole different tune. Army Wife Network is listening. We are interactive empowerment for Army Wives. a network of Army Wives band together by the power of social media. Army Wives supporting each other by utilizing the array of resources available from military and civilian-led support systems. Here's what's going on at Army Wife Network this week.
At ease and check it out.
Well, happening at Army Wife Network this week, we just launched a new series, AWM Gives Back. Here at Army Wife Network, we believe in the importance of helping others, especially those in our military family who have sacrificed so much for the freedoms we enjoy. One way we can accomplish this is by giving back to 501c3 charity organizations who specifically focus on providing aid to our military personnel, veterans, and their families. It is with this heart that we introduce to you AWN Gives Back. Each month, we will share the stories of organizations who are making a difference in a meaningful way in the lives of our service members and veterans. This month, we're featuring Helping Heroes Fly. Helping Heroes Fly was founded in January 2016 by Pam Matt and Terry Keeney to assist any level of enlisted military personnel needing airfare assistance to attend a special event. Terry Keeney, co-director, says, "Our motto is that finances should never keep an enlisted troop member from his or her family, and our vision is to never have to say no when asked for assistance." She adds that one day they would love to be able to provide airfare to the enlisted member's family so they can be there with them when needed. To learn more about this wonderful charity, go to armywifenetwork.com/ AWN Gives Back, Helping Heroes Fly.
Oh, that's so awesome. I love that. So Hot On this week is our Recon Rendezvous. At AWN, we love a lot of things. We love our male spouses. We love to laugh. We love to encourage. And we love free stuff. And this blog post covers it all. We have a giveaway going on for a $25 Amazon gift card and an AWN swag, as well as our second installment of the Funny Because It's True post. 100 ways you might be a MilSpouse, blogger, or military supporter yourself, be sure to leave your own link with our community at the bottom of the blog post. You can read more at www.armywifenetwork.com/100ways. I'm sorry, I lost my title. 100 ways when you might be a MilSpouse if 51 through 100, Recon Rendezvous.
And it's time for our MilSpouse Fest 2016 interview segment. Army Wife Network recently joined with Military One Click as a media partner for their MilSpouse Fest 2016 event at Joint Base Lewis-McChord, Washington. We continue our series of interviews this week by featuring my chat with attendee and Navy spouse, Emily Roberts, who shares with us her insight and enthusiasm about the event.
Hey, it's Crystal Niehoff again. We're here at MilSpouse Fest 2016 at Joint Base Lewis-McChord. Tell us a little bit about yourself. You're one of the attendees today. What's your name, and tell us a little bit about yourself.
My name is Emily Roberts. I'm a Navy spouse. I just got married in October.
Oh,
and
congratulations.
Thank you. So, I'm actually Canadian, so this is my first time living in the United States, and I came to this event because I'm very new to the country and to the military community, so I wanted to learn what resources were available to me and just be more connected to the military community at large.
Oh, how neat. So have you enjoyed the event? We're at lunchtime right now, so have you kind of gotten in on the first part of it? Are you enjoying it?
Yeah, I've enjoyed the different speakers and the conversations that they've brought in, and the different questions that they ask have all been very relevant to my situation and have made things a lot easier to understand, and knowing that I'm not alone in a lot of the feelings that other military spouses have.
Right. So is there any questions that you have that haven't been answered yet that you're hoping will be answered?
I would like some questions to be addressed about maybe foreign spouses. I know there's a lot of us in the military, and sometimes finding jobs even on base can be a little bit more difficult for us because of the citizenship requirement. So just how to navigate the system if you are a military spouse but you're not American.
Right, good deal. So would you recommend MilSpouse Fest to your friends?
Absolutely.
Great. Thank you so much for being with us today.
It was so fun chatting with Emily and many of the other attendees at JBLM. We'll be sharing more interviews with you throughout the summer, so be sure to tune in each week. Now, moving on to our next segment, Amber, tell us about this week's PSA.
Well, last but not least, it's public service announcement time. Do you or your business have a military-related PSA? We limit them to one per show and ask for them 10 days in advance. Send your PSA to info@armywifenetwork.com. Every 8 minutes, the American Red Cross brings help and hope to people in need. Thanks to the support of everyday heroes like you, the Red Cross is able to respond to disasters big and small, support military families, help ensure that blood is available when needed, and teach life-saving skills like CPR and first aid. Be a hero and donate today. Visit redcross.org or call 1-800-RED-CROSS. And that's it for our PSA. Coming up next week, or next after these quick commercial breaks, is AWN's News 610 bringing you the need to know stories. We'll be right back.
While defending our nation, your active duty service member can protect their family's smiles with the TRICARE Dental Program, TDP. It's dental protection that's deserved. This dedicated military service entitles spouses and or children and members of the National Guard or Reserve to receive comprehensive dental coverage. But don't forget, TRICARE dental coverage requires enrollment. TRICARE medical program options do not include TRICARE dental coverage. Call 1-855-MET-TDP1 or visit us online at tricare.mil/TDP.
The Breastfeeding Shop is an authorized TRICARE provider for breast pumps and accessories, shipping to all of the USA and worldwide for TRICARE. The Breastfeeding Shop specializes in helping the military moms get the best breast pump possible and prides themselves in providing the best customer service possible, as well as a very quick turnaround time. Check out their easy-to-use online ordering form on their website at www.thebreastfeedingshop.com or call toll-free 866-255-255. 6779. Also visit the Breastfeeding Shop on Facebook and check out the rave reviews from other moms at facebook.com/thebreastfeedingshop.
Are you looking to reach military families worldwide? Do you have a product or service to offer our listeners? Advertise with the Army Wife Network. AWN has many advertising options specifically designed to reach our military families. Visit ArmyWifeNetwork.com for details.
It's time for the AWTR Live News 6 Report.
Our life, our family, our soldier, news you can use.
Now, with our headlines, it's our own AWN News 6.
Good evening, Army family. This is your News 6 Gen, bringing you all your need-to-know news. President Obama has announced that the U.S. will be sending about 1,000 troops to Poland. The United States will send about 1,000 troops to Poland as part of an effort by NATO to beef up its eastern flank, President Obama announced at a North Atlantic summit on Friday. Obama said the U.S. would rotate battalions into Poland to serve shoulder to shoulder with Polish soldiers, and that an armored brigade would move its headquarters to Poland, which Obama called one of the United States' most committed and important allies. The move is an effort to bolster NATO's strength in Eastern Europe in order to deter further Russian aggression following its annexation of Crimea in 2014. By using rotating battalions, the U.S. is technically living up to a 1997 treaty with Russia that prohibits additional permanent stationing of substantial combat forces in Eastern Europe, while reassuring Poland and other NATO allies that it has a solemn binding duty to help defend them. Part of that strategy includes pre-positioning heavy equipment and munitions to the regions to be used by rapid response troops based elsewhere. In Moscow, a spokesman for Russian President Vladimir Putin
complained about anti-Russian hysteria emanating from the NATO summit. The House of Representatives has approved a measure barring women from registering for the draft. By a vote of 217-203, the Republican-led House approved an amendment that would block the Selective Service System from using any money to alter draft registration requirements that currently apply only to men between the ages of 18 and 25. The amendment, sponsored by Representative Warren Davidson, was added to a financial services spending bill. Davidson said much more study is necessary before such significant, if largely symbolic, change to the draft is made. The U.S. has not had a military draft since 1973, and the odds for another wide-scale draft are remote. Still, the draft registration requirement remains for men and makes lawmakers believe women should be included. The House vote comes just weeks after the Senate passed an annual defense policy bill that mandates for the first time in history that young women sign up for the draft. That measure calls for women to sign up with the Selective Service within 30 days of turning 18, beginning in January 2018. The House didn't include a similar provision in its version of its annual defense policy bill. Instead, there's a measure to study whether the Selective Service is even needed at a time when the armed forces get plenty of qualified volunteers, making the possibility of a draft remote. Congresswoman Corinne Brown has been forced to vacate a key position on the House Veterans Affairs Committee amid scandal. The top Democrat on the House Veterans Affairs Committee stepped down from that post on Friday, just a day after being indicted in an alleged charity fraud scheme. Representative Corinne Brown said in a statement late Friday that the move is temporary while she works to vigorously defend myself in court against these politically motivated allegations. House rules require any committee chairman or ranking member to temporarily step aside from leadership posts if they are indicted in connection with alleged crimes. Brown and her chief of staff pleaded not guilty earlier in the day to multiple fraud charges. Brown, who took over the Veterans Committee leadership role in 2014, says she is innocent. Federal prosecutors have accused her of using an alleged fake charity, One Door for Education Foundation, Inc., as a personal slush fund for herself and friends instead of providing scholarships to low-income students. A status hearing on the charges is set for July 26. That's all the news for this week. Stay tuned to Army Wife Network's Facebook page and Twitter feed for updates throughout the week. This is your News 6 Gen, signing out.
Operation In Touch offers special savings, coupons, and editorial content tailored to the lives of our active military families, providing useful beauty tips and recipes, as well as news and ongoing promotions. Operation In Touch is sponsored by Unilever and its brands, serving as a resource for American military families who serve this nation each and every day. As a member of Operation In Touch, you'll receive exclusive offers and savings on Unilever products you know and love. Registration is easy and free. Simply visit OperationInTouch.com to sign up today. And be sure to like us on Facebook.
You're listening to Army Wife Talk Radio live here on the Army Wife Network. Our live show is broadcast every Monday night. Join us in our live chat room at blogtalkradio.com/AWTR. Missed a live show or just can't make it? Don't worry. AWTR is available in archived format 24/7 via our website, www.armywifenetwork.com, or on iTunes. It's interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Army Wife Talk Radio. I'm your host, Crystal Niehoff.
And I'm your co-host, Amber Bozinski. Tonight we have with us Christine Shellhaus. Christine's success as an entrepreneur and nationally known advocate for military families is the result of her unwavering passion, fearless commitment, and unique authenticity. She founded USMC Life to Inspire, connect and educate military families, helping millions of readers each year, and has dedicated thousands of volunteer hours helping military families through 5 wartime deployments. Christine's memoir, 10 Years of War, was released June 1, 2016.
Born and raised in Boise, Idaho, Christine currently resides at Camp Pendleton in Southern California with her husband, two children, and a dog. She is currently serving on the advisory board for two military nonprofits. In her spare time, Christine enjoys reading, as well as celebrating life and red wine with friends. Welcome to the show, Christine.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's so great to have you on. Tell us a bit
about
yourself.
I was laughing when I heard the dogs barking in the background. I was cracking up because I thought that only happened to me.
No. Yep, my crazy dog, Penny. I couldn't keep her down.
Well, I'm just waiting for a kid to burst into the door. I've, like, threatened them and locked the bedroom door. But I'm just it's usually never fails that one of them will start passing notes or doing something else to get my attention.
Oh, I know. Yep, I've had that happen. Well, tell us a bit about yourself and where you're calling from tonight.
So I am calling from Southern California. I just left the Aquarium of the Pacific, which was so beautiful. I took my kids out there for a summer date. I met Molly Gross. You guys probably know. She's one of my girlfriends, and met up with the babes and had a great time visiting and connecting, and then sat in a little bit of traffic, and I'm trying to soak in the rest of my military time here because my husband's retiring, and I wasn't expecting it to come this fast. Yeah, so he dropped papers, and we were expecting a June 1st date of 2017, so I was thinking I had a year left, and they came back with a December 1st date. And we could have pushed back, but
wow.
I thought, you know, it's fine, I'll just deal with it. But everything is coming together so fast. It's like I went down to get my paperwork, and the moving truck's locked on, and I'm just not ready. So I'm trying to soak in every last minute of this beautiful base.
Oh, wow. So if you don't mind me kind of deviating from the script a little bit, where will you call home?
Well,
we're
both from Boise, so we will probably go there. That's what we're doing right now. So my husband's got a bunch of terminal leave saved up, and so he's not going to be here in California much beyond us. He's got to do some finishing up of the time. But, yeah, it's so weird. Last weekend I felt like I was having a breakdown because, there's almost too many possibilities right now. I don't know what to do with myself.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, congratulations.
No one's telling me what to do anymore, and I don't know what to do.
No, you actually get to pick where you live now.
I know. So we just crafted together a resume, and I'm sending it to a couple people. And I was like, you're so lucky. I've got an HR background. So I'm the interpreter, and I'm sitting here jotting down bullet points for him, trying to, you know, carve together. And so we were looking at jobs on LinkedIn, and he's like, I don't want to do any of these. I was like, yeah, because the civilian world is not so awesome. But he has to work because we just can't be in the same house forever. We'd end up, you know, getting divorced or becoming, I don't know. This too much. Like after when he comes back from deployment after about 10 days, we're both ready to get back to our lives, start a little normalcy again.
Oh, my goodness. So tell me about your book, the title of your book, 15 Years of War. What does that refer to?
So September 11th, that was 15-year anniversary is going to be the September. And that turn of events really impacted all of our lives. And our troops immediately went into Afghanistan, and I was new. I was dating a Marine. So when I met my husband, he had just finished his enlistment. We were in college, and, you know, this military, the idea of a war was so foreign to me. I just thought that things were going to be really short. And when I got engaged, then 9/11 happened, and I thought, it was such a moment that I knew that our lives were going to be changed, but we had no idea that this war would turn out to be the longest war in U.S. history.
Mm-hmm. Oh, goodness. And it's hard to believe it's been that long. You know, but yet it seems like it's been forever. So why did you feel the need to write your book?
So my book's a little bit different because I really feel like there's veteran books and there's military spouse books. And for me, it was really hard for me to understand what it was that my husband did. Like, I knew he was an infantryman. I knew he'd gone to war. I knew that he was in combat, and I knew that people were affected because we lost a lot of men, and a lot of men came home. A lot of men didn't come home. But I really didn't know what that meant in the day-to-day showcase. So I knew that a lot of family stories hadn't been told. And that's something I felt like the families of a service member especially want to know. Maybe that's a mom or a dad or the siblings or cousins. And I know my husband gets peppered with questions when he comes home. And for that, so I just tried putting together a story that showed what me as a military spouse went through on the home front. You know, I'm not sitting at home eating bonbons and, you know, the kids just self take care of themselves. Like, I honestly think taking care of kids is so much harder than when I worked. And I can say that because I've done both of the work, stay at home and work full time. And it's just like, for me, it was a much more difficult thing to be a stay at home mom. So I was just trying to showcase how difficult sometimes it is waiting. Of course, it's difficult for our veterans who go out and fight. Most people know that. But I felt like it was a conversation that was worth having to answer some of those questions to as to what both parties were doing over the course of 15 years. Because some books also just take place during one deployment, maybe two. But nothing had really taken a look at long-term effect of war.
Well, you could describe, if you will, the reader's journey. What does the reader get from reading your book?
Okay, so the memoir begins, I was 19, my husband was 22, and that's when he had just left the Marine Corps to start his civilian life, and then it kind of fast-forwards through that brief time in our life until just before 9/11. And so it goes into that where we both were, and how both of us took 9/11. And then it follows our marriage through having children, five deployments, which included three to Iraq, one to Afghanistan, and then a tour into the Pacific. So you'll even PCS with us and learn how we lived in a motorhome, if you can believe it, at Fort Benning, where I lived at Fort Uchi, for anybody who's at Fort Benning, and how we basically got stationed in outside of Death Valley, which seemed like the middle of nowhere. If you haven't been there, it really does feel like you've been stranded in the middle of the desert. And then it goes into talking about how we lost our one-year-old child, which is absolutely the hardest thing I've ever had to go through. And so to make what was really difficult about this, and one of the reasons I talk about it is because my husband deployed to Afghanistan just 5 months later after we lost our child. And so I was left with picking up the pieces. I was pregnant. I brought our baby into the world while he was in Afghanistan fighting a war. And we tried to fight for our marriage, and it was not easy. And I just feel like sometimes people think that we're all these perfect faces and these perfect people, and life's so easy for us because we have social media. And sometimes you put things on social media and they have an idea of, oh, her life's so great. But you know what? Sometimes life is really hard, and I wanted to give an honest look at the joys and the valleys of this lifestyle. And then finally, at the end of the book, it goes through how I couldn't go back to work, because I found that people weren't hiring military spouses because we moved so often. And in my quest to help other people, I started a website, and then that ended up turning into a business. So I call myself an accidental entrepreneur. So 5 years after a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, we reached about 2.5 million people a month, which was crazy to think that anybody wants to hear what I have to say about anything. But I sold the website, and here I am today just telling our story.
That's awesome.
I think it is so – I really appreciate your candor in the book, in that you do – share the ups and downs. You know, you really share openly and honestly with the reader what your life is 15 years, and you know what it's like facing the challenges and the deep valleys, like losing your child, and everyday life, like having a baby while your husband's deployed, that type of thing. And I think that us as military spouses can really take a lot away from and learn a lot from reading that, because we still are in that cycle of deployment and war. And if we see that somebody else did it, and your marriage survived, and you survived, and you've made it to retirement now, and I just am grateful for someone that's willing to share so openly and honestly and not gloss it over and make it sound like it was wonderful, and you handled everything perfectly. So thank you for doing that. I really love books like this.
Aww.
I feel that I can glean something from it, you know, more than just, coming away feeling like a failure. Instead, I feel like, okay, she did it. She went through these things. I can do it too. So thank you for that.
Oh, well, you're welcome. And I feel like there's so many commonalities between services too. Even though we've always been in the Marines, we were stationed at an Army base for a while, and we've been around. I have so many friendships with people outside of the Marine Corps and other services. And I feel like if we just talk to people, we will find how many commonalities we truly have.
Right. Now, your husband seemed to be very active, a very active participant in this experience. How did you feel, or in the experience of writing the book, how did he feel about sharing his life this way?
Well, it was kind of like pulling teeth a little bit. So he's an extremely private man, and getting him to talk about combat and war was not something easy. And so basically, this journey started when I realized that we didn't have the love letters that generations before us had. You know, they had sent the mail and the pictures, and they would send tokens and gifts to one another. And I realized almost our entire communication was sent via email. And then I realized, you know, that email could be lost, because this is way before the cloud. This is during dial-up internet, right? This is before you could have unlimited storage space on email servers. And so I had gone and harvested backups of all of my emails, and I started stitching them together, and I wondered, you know, what was he doing during that time in his life? And I couldn't get him to really answer me what he was doing until we PCS'd. So I basically trapped him in the car, and I sat in the passenger seat, and I asked him a million questions about, why did you train? Why did you train this way? What were you doing? And what were you doing? So when the war first started, where were you, and what were you thinking? And he's just, you know, he, bless his heart, that man loves me, because I don't think this book would not be here today if he did not just, he wanted to honor me, and I'm so grateful that he did, because I've learned so much from him about what he did at war, and I think a lot of other spouses can also use this as a tool to ask their service member what their experience is. And it doesn't even have to be a wartime deployment, but just workups, training, a deployment to the Pacific. You know, those things are done on a ship. There's a lot of guys and gals who spend a lot of time on ships, and knowing what they do on a ship, I don't know, I think it's fascinating, and I'm grateful for him and the Marine Corps for PCSing us twice, East Coast to West Coast and then back, to get this information from him, to pry it from him.
Oh, my goodness, definitely. Well, I know you shared a little bit at the beginning about some of the things you had to go through. And, you know, my husband personally hasn't deployed yet, but he's been on a lot of trainings. And, like, currently, at the beginning of the show, I talked about it. And, you know, I love what you said about, you know, social media. Yeah, we can post pictures and, you know, make it look one way, but it's about being real. That's going to really help, especially other military wives out. Because I know myself, I'm struggling a little bit trying to keep it all together with all the kids and, you know, keeping them busy and kind of having it all on our shoulders. But I wanted to ask you, for you, what has been the hardest part of being a military wife?
So I was the young wife who had just finished college, and I had worked for a Fortune 500 company. I had about 7 years under my belt. And I was really growing through the ranks quickly, and I imagined becoming like the vice president of a major corporation. That was my end-all goal. And so when I married my husband, I thought my career would not be impacted in any way, because we would live near a big city and I wouldn't have any hard time finding gainful employment. But I soon learned that all of that time spent working for companies and just, you know, working really hard and studying and going to college didn't really translate to a job, because most employers didn't want to hire military spouses. And I didn't understand that, but I finally had to come to grips with it, that no matter how many resumes I put out, and sometimes I wouldn't even get an interview, and sometimes during the interview they would say, hey, we really love you, but in the end, I think you're overqualified for the job. We don't think you'd be happy here, which is really kind of a hurtful thing to say. But I just couldn't kill that drive inside me. And I think that's why I had a really hard time being a stay-at-home mom, because I felt I wasn't made for this. And I can be completely honest about my journey as a mom. Like, it takes a lot of effort for me to make sure I'm doing a good job in this, because it's not a thing that comes natural. That there's a lot of moms out there that have their play dates lined up, they've got their crafts lined up, and they absolutely love it. They couldn't think of any other thing that they would rather do. And for me, that's not how I was wired. Mm-hmm. And so I became my husband's last four. And I got, like, that's what I got known as. And I didn't have much input with how my life would be affected these next 15 years. And it took me a long time to try to get that drive out of me. So what I did was I became an ultra volunteer. I started volunteering with services. I started helping other people. And I feel like that is my gift. My gift has been a connector. So I want to make people's journeys easier. I want to help you find the way so that you don't have to struggle like I did. And so I did that through volunteering at first. And then I started a website to help people find out what the next duty station was going to be like. If you were going to be stationed at a Marine Corps base, that you would know, okay, these are the best schools in the area. Here's where I think you should maybe check out housing if you have these, you know, certain aged kids. Or if you're looking for a job, this is probably a better area to find work, whatever that might be, so that they don't have to start over and they can glean a little bit of information. But little did I know that that website would be the start of my entrepreneurial journey, and it ended up changing my professional and personal journey for life. Like, I had no idea that when I started that website that I'd end up where I am today.
Wow. Now, you've been a military wife for 2 decades now. Was any of your personal family in the military?
Yeah, you know, my grandparents served in World War II, but they really didn't talk about their time in service much. They would make an occasional remark here and there, but neither of my parents served. In fact, my parents still live in the same house that I came home from the hospital in. So the military is it was a very weird outside world. It was something that was seen in the movies. It wasn't something that was even an idea or a possibility for real life. And so when I became engaged, the idea of becoming a military spouse was so scary to me, because I was stepping into this pool that, like, I couldn't see the bottom of. And it seemed like, you know, when you're a kid and you're swimming and the pool gets really dark and you feel like there's a shark down there, that's what I felt like military life was going to be, that I was going to get my husband in trouble for speeding on base and then he'd get kicked out of the Marine Corps, or I would stand in the wrong line at the commissary and then I would get him in trouble and I'd end up on the blotter. Just these crazy ideas, of course, which are ridiculous. But I didn't think – that's honestly where my head was in the game. And then, you know, when 9/11 happened, I had to ask myself, you know, can I handle waiting for him and sending him off to war? It was a weird conversation to have with myself because, you know, this was the man that I loved, and I knew that there was war. And then you talk about it being – is it going to be like Desert Storm? Or is it going to be something else? And little did we know, you know, that it was going to be something completely different.
Mm-hmm. So you touched base on this a little bit, but give us your view, if you will, of the military culture.
Yeah, so it's a funny thing because I think a lot of our military families know this, but a lot of the civilians don't. I think they've been given a false sense of what life is like. Our military culture is seen as that they're broken, and our veterans are damaged people. And that 22-a-day stigma follows our veterans around everywhere. And, of course, there was that new study that just came out that said it was 20 veterans a day, but a lot of people don't realize that those veterans are – the majority, two-thirds of them, are 50 years old and older, and they don't represent our post-9/11 veterans. But we all know this, and I would love to see our civilian audience gain a little bit more perspective on this. But our families are strong, they're resilient and steadfast. They've had deployment after deployment. They faced moves. They've interacted with cultures. And, like, our military bases are the largest melting pots in America. And we have, like, raised amazing, resilient kids who have, you know, crossed racial, socioeconomic boundaries, and they're friends with, like, so many different types of kids. It's one of my favorite things about living on base. And to me, a veteran is a strong individual, and I think a lot of opportunities don't come to our veterans who serve, and they may not get hired in the civilian sector. And I'm really trying to maybe change that, if I can, with this book, to show that our veterans are resilient. And if they hire a veteran, they're going to get a creative problem solver, they're going to get a leader who's able to overcome, lead under pressure, and they're just a really well-rounded individual. And I think that also implies to military spouses, because we're the problem solvers, right? Like, if anything goes wrong, who has to fix it? It's us.
Right.
So, you know, we're loyal employees, and we may not be there for a long time, but you know what? We're going to dig in, and we're going to work so hard for that time that we're at that PCS or wherever we happen to be living, that I think that our civilian community really should work and hire veterans and military spouses, and maybe not be thrown off so much by the idea that we're just a broken culture.
Right.
Definitely.
Right. Love it. Team, we have to take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk about your advocacy for military families and entrepreneurship as a military spouse.
All right.
We'll be right back with more Army Wife Talk Radio in just a moment.
Are you looking for a new career but don't qualify for MyCAA funding? CareerStep can help. They have partnerships, scholarships, and other funding sources that provide military service members, veterans, spouses, and other family members with career training programs for as little as $180. CareerStep's flexible online programs allow you to complete your coursework at your own pace, when it fits your schedule. Choose from a number of in-demand careers like pharmacy technician or medical coding and billing. Visit careerstep.com/military to learn more today.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Abdullah on behalf of the Army Surgeon General, and this is your Army Medicine, Be As Healthy As You Can Be, Health Minute. July is Total Force Fitness Month. This month, we'd like you to think about your eyes and how they fit into your overall fitness and well-being. Eye injury is very common. Eyes are just as easily injured in car accidents, through sports, and other common lifestyle habits such as reading and using computers as they are in combat. Women are more likely than men to experience eye or vision problems, and tens of thousands of children injure their eyes yearly, typically in sport-related incidents. Everyone should always wear the proper eye safety products at home, during sports, in training, and of course on the battlefield. We also recommend annual eye exams for the entire family. National security relies on our total force readiness. Do all you can to protect your eyes and your vision. For more information on eye health and eye injury prevention, visit the Army Public Health Center online at phc.amdd.army.mil. Army Medicine, one team, one purpose, conserving the fighting strength.
Want more? ArmyWifeNetwork.com offers discussion boards, military family resources, Loving a Soldier blog, and much, much more. Tell your friends about AWN with our interactive tools. Visit us online at ArmyWifeNetwork.com. ArmyWifeNetwork.com. Interactive empowerment for Army wives.
Welcome back to the show. Before we get back to chatting with our guest, Christine is generously giving away two copies of her book, 15 Years of War, to two of our lucky listeners. We have randomly drawn two names from those who entered. Amber, tell us, who's the winner? Who are our winners this evening?
Okay, if I can get a drum roll. No. Our winner number one is Tiffany Herring. And winner number two is Shamberly Coleman. Congratulations.
Congratulations, Tiffany and Shamberly. I'll be getting with you to get your email or your mailing addresses so we can get your copy of 15 Years of War in the mail to you as soon as possible. Now let's get back with Christine. We're talking with, as I said, Christine Schellhoff, author of 15 Years of War, entrepreneur, and advocate for military families. Before we went to break, we were discussing her new book and life as a military wife. Christine, among other activities, you're an advocate for military families. Tell us more about that.
Well, I realized after I had built this website and had all these followers, you know, looking for guidance and information, that I needed to do something with that. You know, it was a huge responsibility, and I felt that I was given this wonderful gift and that I needed to use it well. And, you know, our veterans signed away their rights when they signed on the dotted line to serve. But who looks out for them? You know, they don't have unions to speak out for them. And through this whole time, while they've been serving their country faithfully, they have deployed, they have trained, they have been away from home, and it seems like all that money that has been brought in has, it's at least on the Marine Corps side, I'm sure the Army side too, it seems like all that money has been spent upgrading weaponry and equipment. But I do know that personnel costs have not risen for decades. And so when I found out that they were going to target our service members' pay, their retirement, health care, quality of life programs, like that did not sit well with me. And it's really upsetting to know that our veterans who have signed up to serve and they risk everything for this country, you know, they shouldn't have the budget balanced on their back. Like, it's so wrong. And so when they took away the retiree benefits of the COLA increase, you know, it's essentially stripped away about a $100,000 average of what it would take away from buying power, that we stepped up. There's a bunch of us military spouses, to give a voice for our families to say, this is not right. And so what we did is we formed a organization called Keep Your Promise. And that campaign galvanized tens of thousands of online participants. We joined together this grassroots effort with some nonprofits, some federal entities, and we called Congress on the carpet. What happened was that they took that revision back in a landmark effort. And so for the first time, I think we saw, at least on the military side, how social media really could protect our troops, how every single call that you make to Congress does matter. Like, they, if you call your representatives and you call your senators, you know, they don't like to be told that they're doing a bad job. And so every time when you start saying, I can't believe that someone voted for this, this is wrong, fix it, they, you know what? They listen. And so that was a huge, huge landslide win for us.
So tell us about your adventures as an entrepreneur.
Wow. It was just a crazy journey. And I, you know, again, I didn't know that I was going to be an entrepreneur. So I started this website to help people, and it ended up becoming a business. So what basically I've done is try to make that transition process easier. You know, are you going to hire movers? You've got to secure housing. And I was just trying to basically dot that all down for every single person. And, you know, 5 years later, we reached 2.5 million people a month. Like, that's crazy. I still can't believe it, even saying that. And so it's the first time I've ever had to hire employees, and so I was really proud to hire military spouses. And so I actually became someone's boss, which is so weird. And we had 10 volunteers, and it was just an amazing journey to know that I was making a difference in someone else's family's lives. Whether they were getting information from my site, whether they were getting a paycheck from me, whether I gave them skills because they volunteered for me. And a lot of my volunteers actually got paid positions after volunteering because they had learned some really valuable skill sets in digital media. So for me, that will always stay with me. But basically, I received the offer for a buyout, and I sold my company in January 2015. It had just grown too big for me. You know, I was working constantly. It's like every single hour of every single day was either spent checking my phone. I would work late constantly, and digital technology changes so quickly that I just felt like it was the best fit for me, because I could stay with the company and still help manage the site as the editor-in-chief, but also I could give away some of the technology barriers that I was running into from growing too fast and work under their wing to continue the mission.
Wow. So what do you think are the most important aspects for successful entrepreneurship?
Wow, tenacity. That's one of my favorite words. I just think that people who you just can't give up, and you got to get outside the comfort zone. Like I said, I worked all the time, and so I know the idea of entrepreneurship is exciting because you get to work for yourself, you get to decide what it is you want to do. But for me, I was working until 3 in the morning because that was when my kids were sleeping. So I could actually, it's called my witching hour. I could actually get things done. And, I could take breaks and I could spend time with my kids during the day when they were home from school, or even before they went to school. Like, I could be there for them. But I did get to set those hours, which is some of the most amazing things about becoming an entrepreneur. And I think also when you do something you love, those hours are going to fly by. They're not going to you're not going to be clock watching like when you're in school or doing something that you don't love. You know, you're constantly watching the clock. Is it time to go yet? But I also think one of the reasons why I sold was it's mitigating risk. And I needed help, and I think knowing when you're tapped out and maybe you start an entrepreneurial journey and you realize this isn't it for me, this isn't what I meant to do, or you learn from what you're doing and you say, okay, this is working, but this isn't working, well, you drop the what's not working and you pivot and you start going to what is working, and sometimes you might end up creating an absolutely new business. But I think you have to ask for help. And even if it's just asking for volunteers, like for me, I couldn't afford to pay anybody at a certain point in time. And so I had people volunteering for me. But even asking someone to volunteer was a very hard conversation to have with myself because I felt guilty, not realizing that I was teaching people valuable skills, but just that I was supposed to be able to handle everything myself. So it was certainly a different place to be, but I don't know. I think if anyone can go out and become an entrepreneur, if they feel like that's something that they're passionate about, or even if they're not, just maybe try something and see if it fits.
Right. So we all know that everything in life is smooth and flawless, but how do you pick yourself up and get back in the game when you hit the wall?
Well, that wall hurts, I can tell you. seems like life likes to come crashing down on us. And isn't it always when they're deployed? It's like, that's the joke when everything comes in threes. But I think one of the things I've always done well was keeping my perspective in life. And it's easy to get lost when that fog hits and you're really mad or you're really angry about what's going on. But I've learned that if you step back, you reframe the issue, and you look at it through a different lens, then you can really start to see it in a more mathematical sense, if that makes sense, where it's more plain, it's the emotions are taken out of it, and then you just realize that it may not be as bad as it seems. Or maybe it's just really awful and you just need to step aside and say, okay, I need a break. And, of course, everyone's going to go through their issues, but I think perspective is so important in life where, even today, like if my kids are fighting and it's summer and chaos is going on, I realize I'm so blessed. I have my kids with me that I'm able to stay at home with them during summer and that we live in Southern California and I have so many places to take them before I move home. So it's just a simple reframing of the situation, which really helps. But going back to when we lost our child, we had just moved to the Mojave Desert weeks before, losing him. And no parent's ever ready to bury their child. Like, that's not something, even though, like, the parents who send their children off to war, it's always someone else's kid that's going to happen to. And, you're not ready to deal with that. And so no matter how positive of a person you are, when that wall slaps you in the face, it just turns your world upside down. And so I think one of the things that really changed our lives was when we became pregnant with our daughter before he deployed. And, it was bittersweet because I knew that I would be bringing her into the world while he was off fighting. But I think she gave me time to pause and really reflect on my marriage. I was extremely hurt about losing him, but I knew, and our marriage could have suffered, but I knew I had a million reasons to stay. I had to go back to those moments where I looked at him that day that I said I do, and thinking about where our lives will be a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, and remembering the positive, happy times that are coming in the future and the reasons that you fell in love with your man or your woman, and knowing that it's worth fighting for, even though it's painful. And so one of the things I've done with that is that I've found I've run what's called the Happiness Challenge on a Facebook page. And it's just these simple weekly, I guess they're not really questions. Some of them are, but they're just little things that you can do to just make your year a better year. So one of them might be calling a friend or a relative you haven't seen in a long time, or plan a date night where you really dress up and you go out. Or it could be something as, hey, you know, it's summertime, the food bank's really suffering. If you have some time, if you have time, donate some time at the food bank. If you have some money, maybe donate some food. So just really small, minor things to get you to step back and look at life with a new perspective, especially when it gets rough. And so for me, this journey, I found a fuller, happier life because of it.
Oh, I love that. What an amazing story you have. Thank you so much, Christine, for coming on and sharing with us about it. Tell us where our listeners can go to learn more and to get your book, 15 Years of War.
Oh, so 15yearsofwar.com. It's 15, like 1-5, yearsofwar.com. And then I'll take you to my website, and you can order it through Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or any other fine bookstore. Christine is with a K, christinespeaks.com. You can follow me on Twitter, Christine Speaks. Or if you want to follow the Happiness Challenge on Facebook, you can type in The Pursuit of Perspective, or the URL on Facebook is The Happiness Challenge. So I'd love to connect with you, and I hope that you find some commonalities in our story. And thank you so much for having me on your show. This has been so much fun.
Oh, this has been great. Thank you so much. Have a great evening.
Thanks. You too, ladies.
Listeners, thank you for tuning in this evening. Be sure to join us next week, July 18th, 2016. Our featured guest will be Samantha Metheny, who will be chatting with us about her mobile mill spouse career in photography. It's going to be another great show. You don't want to miss it.
And in the meantime, join us on armywifenetwork.com to stay connected to resources, information, expert columnists, and share the journey with many of our experienced contributors, or follow along on any of our social media outlets such as Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
Interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. This is Army Wives Network's core team signing out.
The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. Army Wife Talk Radio is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services, and inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DOD, any local government, or their agencies. Thank you for listening, and be sure to tune in again next week for another informative edition of Army Wife Talk Radio.